bless you.
Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Oh, I enjoyed that message immensely. I was wondering if it was going to leave me anything to preach. I was just, you'll see why. You know, he done made reference to Mark 14, the latter part of the chapter. And then he made reference to a woman, Mary Magdalene. Now, there's many debates whether that's her that's spoken of in these verses that we're going to look at. It really doesn't matter. The Lord didn't give her name. But she was a sinner. And you know why she came? She came to worship. And I pray that's by God's grace, that's what we're here for, to worship Him. That's what they were doing in that upper room. It was worship. I heard someone say one time, and it stuck with me. You know, people say, well, I come to church and I didn't get anything. It's not about you getting something. It's about you giving Him honor and glory and praise and recognition. You know, because by nature we are so selfish. It's not about us. And as he preached, it's a privilege as a preacher to get and sit to sit in a worship service and listen to preaching and to be able to worship. Because majority of the time we're having to prepare the meal and to feed the meal. I mean, I enjoy that, but it blessed my heart. Really. Really. Just immensely. I could have just said, okay, we can just leave and go home, but tonight we'll be looking here in Mark 14, 1 through 9. And it says, 2 days after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. Is this turned on, Bruce? Yeah. It is turned on. Just making sure. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, when our Lord would fulfill all the types, all the ceremonies of that Passover. He's the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. It's only 2 days till that day. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take Him by craft and put Him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it upon his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of this ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. You see what he just said? He said, she hath wrought a good work on me. For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good, but me you have not always. Here's the title of the message in verse 8. She hath done what she could. She has come afore to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you that wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. So you'll get the picture and the setting. I see these two extremes. I see these scribes and these Pharisees. These self-righteous, church-going, Bible carrying. They would have bumper stickers. If they had a car, they would be all over at the back. That's who these people are. And they are plotting. They want to take the Lord Jesus Christ by craft. Now, what does that mean? If they did what they wanted to do, they would have taken him out behind some building somewhere and killed him and thrown him in a grave. That's what they wanted to do. But what they wanted to do and tried to do, they could not do. You know why? God's going to hang his son outside Jerusalem for everybody to see. This thing's not going to be done in a corner. But you think about the animosity. And there's no love in their hearts for the Son of God. And this pictures all of us by nature. By nature, we have no love in our heart for Christ. There's none. There's not a little spark of good in any man. This describes us. This is what they wanted to do. But not on the feast day, you know, we can't defile ourselves. How foolish. Have no clue. And why would they do that? They have no clue of who he is. They don't have the slightest idea. It says in Acts 2:23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified him and slain. This describes us all by nature. So this is the setting. So we see those people here on the one hand, these people that hate him, despise him. And let me tell you, the human nature's not changed. People still hate him. They hate this gospel. They hate that we honor and glorify him. Now, if you brag on them and talk about how good they are and how much Jesus needs them, oh, they love that Jesus. But they don't love this one. But we see this woman. She loves him because he first loved her. She loves him. There's no question about it. Our Lord's recorded this for a purpose. And the question I asked as I read this story, why does she love him? Why would she do what she did? Something's happened to her. Something miraculous has happened. She sees something. See, she sees someone that they don't see. What did she do? This certain woman, if it was Mary Magdalene, we don't know. And if you read five different commentators, you'll get five different answers. But this similar story is recorded in all four Gospels. It is recorded. But I tend to believe that it was her. You imagine how wicked this woman was. Our Lord cast five devils out of this woman. And every time you see her, she was at the cross. You read in the scriptures, you know who was the first one at the tomb that day? This woman was. Why was she the first one there? He had done something for her. He had done something for her. He loved her. He loved her. Unconditionally. Everybody knew who she was. And that's how everybody still saw her. That ain't how he saw her. He saw her with eyes of love and mercy and grace. He had showed mercy to this woman. This woman also describes all of us by nature. What made the difference? The God choosing. His electing grace is what made the difference. It's not that she's any different. She's just as wicked as the scribes and the Pharisees. Just in a different way. You know, they didn't think, oh, we're not wicked like she is. We're not wicked. We're good people. No question about this woman. No question about it. But something had happened to her to cause her to do what she did. She brings this alabaster box. They said an alabaster box was like a hard piece of white marble. This box. And then they would have a lid on it and it would be sealed with wax. You know why? To preserve what was on the inside. It's just like wine. You don't leave the top of the bottle off. You keep it sealed up. This was sealed up, and she has this little box in her hands, and she brings it to where Christ is. Now, how did she know where he was at? If she didn't know, she asked. Well, if this was an upper room, he would have been there. But he was in Simon's house, the leper's house. That's where he's at, and that's where she went. Why did she go there? Where are you going, Mary? I'm going to that house. Why are you going to that? Because that's where he's at. Why are you going to go to Newcastle on a Friday night? Well, that's where he's going. That's where he said he'd be. That's where God's people are going to meet. And when that's where God's people is going to meet, that's where God's people are going to be at. That's so simple. And why did we come like she did? We come, oh, by God's grace, to worship, worship, worship Him. Worship Him. And what was in this box was spikenard. This was a small, uninteresting shrub. If you was to see it, you would have just walked right by it. There's nothing impressionable about it. But from that plant, I think they crushed it and ground it, and they made this sweet fragrance of spikenard. Do you see who this pictures? He came into his own, and his own received him not. He's a root out of dry ground. When you see him, there's no beauty that you should desire him. I don't know where in the world Bruce ever got that article and put it in the bulletin for today. I never write bulletins, but read it. That's what it's talking about. When Christ came to where Zacchaeus was at, he looks down from that tree, and here's a whole crowd of people. Now, which one's Christ? Pick him out. You can't. He looks just like everybody else. They're not carrying him on poles. They're not, none of that stuff. He doesn't know who Christ is till Christ walks up to the bottom of the tree and he says, Zacchaeus. And when he calls your name, that's when you know who he is. That simple, isn't it? And you're looking around everywhere. He climbed the tree to see him. He got up as high as he's going, where in the world is that? And he's standing right there at the bottom of the tree, and he looks up at him, and that's when he recognizes. And that's when you will. He's a root out of dry ground. Like you said, his brethren at one time that were raised in the very same household he did, all they saw was a man in flesh and blood. That's all they saw him. When he came to Nazareth in Luke 4, they said, this is Joseph's son. He ain't Joseph's son. He's the Son of God. They didn't recognize him. And you won't either. You won't either. Till he makes himself known. This spikenard pictures him. You know what it says in the Song of Solomon? When the king setteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. That's worship. When he sits at his table, oh, at his table. Imagine them disciples sitting around that table with him. Nothing else matters. And you know what that is? That spikenard is the Spirit of God within your heart that just bubbles up for him. It says when he sits at his table, my heart just overflows with joy. That's worship. He's the spikenard of our soul. This ointment was very costly and very precious. And the reason it was very costly and very precious, because it's very rare. Try to find a place where the gospel is preached. Try to find a place when you walk in there. If you hear something, some other gospel, a gospel of works, or where people preach law, all you smell is, man, it's death. Oh, when you hear the gospel, it's like, oh man, you know what that is? It's comforting to my soul. Comforting to my soul. And she broke. It's valuable, and it's in that case, but she's not released its smell yet. She has to break it. You know what? God has to break you. He has to break you. And when she did, it says the whole house was filled with the ointment. I can see people going, you know, I smelled that one time in a perfume shop. You know, it's something different. And I can see somebody look at somebody and say, is that real? Is that spikenard? Well, where in the world did she get the money to buy that? And I tell you, when Christ meets with his people, our hearts are broke, and it releases this sweet, sweet fragrance. There's no blessing than like the people of God meeting together in one accord for one reason and one purpose only, and that's to honor and exalt and glorify him. What a sweet smell. Then I think it, you can correct me afterwards, but I think it speaks there in the psalm, just like the pouring the ointment on Aaron's head, which run down upon his beard and run down upon the whole skirt. The whole body's affected. When one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When the head when the head's exalted, the body is blessed. Isn't that so simple? It's blessed. As she broke open this box, the sweet fragrance filled the room. All she did was break the box. The sweet fragrance of Christ crucified filled the whole house. Why did she do this? She did it out of love for him. That's right. The love of God constrains us. She loved him because she first loved. She loves him because he first loved her. Turn with me to Luke, I'm going to show you this, chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and to dry them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed him with ointment. That's worship. Isn't it? Simple and plain. She's sitting at his feet, washing his feet with tears and drying them with the hair of her head. Verse 39, and when the Pharisees which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answered and said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other one 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore which of them will love him most. Simon answered and said, well, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto them, well, you've rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. He turned to the woman, but he's speaking to Simon. He turned to the woman and spake to Simon. He said, you see this woman? And you know, I could say tonight, do you see this woman? Do you see this woman? Do you see her? You see where she's at? Do you see what she's doing? That's what he's telling this man. Do you see this woman? You thought you saw her. All you saw was a sinner. Do you see her? Do you see her? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, even common courtesy. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, that you gave me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. And if she's not forgiven because she loved much, she loves much because she is forgiven. Don't reverse it. That's how the world misses it. But to whom little is given, forgiven the same loveth little. She wanted to honor him. That's what she came for. She wanted to honor him. She brought the most costly thing that she had. I thought about David. David said, I will not offer that to the Lord, which cost me nothing. This was very costly, and it brought her considerable sacrifice and self-denial. Judas, or one of the scriptures, it says that this could have been sold for 300 pence. Well, a pence was a common man's day's wages. So that would have been one day's wage times 300. To give you an idea what that would amount to, common man makes, if he makes an average salary of $8 or $9 an hour, if he makes $9 an hour times 8, that's $72 a day. You times that times 300 days, it's $21,600. It's what it would cost. Now, is that worth a lot? Would you take over $21,000 and you say, I'm going to... And how did she get this money? Somebody, she got it by laying on her back. She got it from somewhere. And she saved it. And she put it up for one reason. To honor him. I can see her wherever they sold it. She went and bought it on purpose. I can see her going to the store and said, how much is that? And they said, this much. And I can see her say, well, I don't have enough yet. But when I get it, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to buy it. And I'm going to put it up. This is not some spur of the moment thing. Our Lord said, she hath kept this for my burial. She's waiting just for the right time to honor him. You see the picture? And she brings this. And all she's saying, but she's not, in real, don't you think about it? She's not thinking about the cost of this. She's not thinking about what it cost her. She's thinking about him. And she pours it on him. Ladies, you that wear perfume, you wear it, and when you put it on, if somebody gets close to you, they can smell it. And you know what it does? It draws attention to you. She did not put this on her to draw attention to her. She put it on him, and everybody's not looking at her. Everybody's looking at him. That's worship. That's honor. That's honor. It's not the hardest thing we have to do. And listen, she does this in the presence of other people. The hardest thing for us to do is to do anything, whether it's stand and preach, sing, or do anything in front of other people and not worry about what they think. It just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. When you worship, it just doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter. What matters is what he thinks and what other people think about him. That's what it's about. And anything else just doesn't matter. It's just a waste of time. But what she did, she's going to say, he's going to say, it ain't no waste. It's not a waste. It ain't a waste. She knew what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. She knew exactly what she was doing. She did it on purpose. She knew who he was. She knew where he would be found. She did what she did without any thought to any other person whatsoever. And I can tell you, only God can enable you to do that. I can tell you, it's hard to worship. It's not some easy thing. Because this old man of mine, he's always there. Preached a message this past Sunday on delivering. And I read across this passage, it's in Genesis, where you know where Jacob said? Jacob said, Lord, deliver me from my brother Esau, because I fear him. That Esau is my twin brother, that's my old nature. He wants a little bit of the credit. I'm just telling you the truth. But she comes. It don't matter. It don't matter. She had eyes only for one that day in that house. And that was Christ. She was not there to obtain the praise of men for what she did. She was not there to draw attention to herself. She was not there to secure their praise or to avoid their scorn. It didn't matter. She did what she did with great sacrifice. And it was a work of faith. He said, she's wrought a good work on me. How do we know this woman believed God? How do we know Abraham believed God? James put it pretty plain. Faith without works is dead. He said, can man says he has faith and he has not works, can that kind of faith save? Nope, it never has and it never will. This is grace and this is faith that works. Faith is nothing more than looking to Christ and resting in Christ and believing in Christ for everything. Not part of it, everything. That's faith. Faith. And it's your faith that He gave you to trust Him. That's why you trust Him. And it's not just something you do in the past, it's something you do every day. Lord, I'm trusting You when I go to the house of God for You to enable me to worship You. And I'm trusting You. It ain't me trying to work up something. It ain't me trying to work up some feeling. She may not have felt anything. That really didn't matter. It didn't matter. I can see the old man whispering in her ear, saying, do you really want to do this? Don't you know what you could buy with this? Do you have any idea what you could buy with a year's wages? Any idea? She drew attention and all of it to Him. But not everybody liked it. Judas is sitting over and he's going, now he knows what she's doing. He knows how much it cost, because he's the one that said, this was worth 300 pence and we could have taken it and we could have sold it and we could have given it to the poor. Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't it? And you know what else? The other disciples picked up with what he said. And they said, what a waste. What she did exposed the wickedness of their heart. It exposed it. Did not what Abel did expose the wickedness of Cain? It sure did. Not everybody's going to like it. But we don't really care. It don't matter. I could care less. I hope it makes them mad. I hope it makes them mad. Maybe they'll get glad. I really do. I don't care. Really, it doesn't matter. I do care, but I don't. It doesn't matter. We see what you see how much he thought the Lord Jesus Christ was worth, the price of a common slave. And bought him a piece of ground. Why did he do that? I tell you exactly why he did it. God left him alone. That's why. And if God leaves you alone, you'll do the very same thing. But I know this, as good as I'm standing here preaching to you tonight, if God ever does a work of grace in you, you will love Him and nothing else won't matter. You will love Him above everything and everybody else. That's right. simple and as plain as that. And I'm glad it's that way. Because many times our hearts are drawn after the things of the world. And God says, you come back here. Come here, little sheep. If I leave you alone, you'll be out in some briar somewhere, some thicket. Mary worshipped Christ. Judas was a thief. Judas said it was a waste. Love's never wasted. Generosity's never wasted. Sacrifice is never wasted. And I tell you this. Love can never give him too much. Do you notice that first song we sung tonight? The last verse. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were a present far too small. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. You know what Paul said when he wrote to that Philippian church? He said, I have all and abound. I'm full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. They'd send him a gift, send him an offering. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. Devotion and commitment to Christ is seldom ever understood by men. They say, you're crazy. Can't you see them that day when Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees? If they'd have said, you're crazy. It's like the Christian in Pilgrim's Progress. He had to put his hands over his ears and run. You're crazy. The world will look at you tonight and they say, you're crazy. Ain't there something else you could do on Friday night? Couldn't you go to a Friday night ball game? Nope. Can you imagine maybe how shocked she was when she heard the response of these disciples? They don't understand. She only intended to honor him. She wanted to show in some public way how much she loved him and how thankful she was. You know, as I thought about that, when I think about Thanksgiving, I think about our Lord healing the 10 lepers. And only one comes back and gives him thanks. He said, where's the 9 at? There'll always be those who don't understand, and there'll always be those who say it's just a waste. Our Lord said, let her alone. That's his little sheep. He said, you leave her alone. You leave her alone. Or he saw her, he knew her, and he knew what she did. And listen, he knew why she did it. Now you think with me for a minute. Our hearts are just so deceitful. And we hope that when we do something, we do it for the right reason. And I can tell you this, only he knows. He said, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know. Do I love him? Only he knows. My heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And he knows. I want to honor him. He knows. He knows. He knows why I'm here. He knows why you're here. He knows exactly why you're here. He knows exactly. He said, leave her alone. What? And this is the only place I can find in the scriptures when he ever calls anything we did a good work. He said, she hath wrought a good work on me. Is that what he said? That's what he said. Because he made it good. He did. But I can tell you this, she brought it. She brought it. He says, whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. They are predestinated unto good works. Faith without works is dead. And when we do the works, we don't even know we're doing them.
We don't.
But he does. And that's a, that's the only thing that matters. As we sit here this evening, the only thing in the world that matters is, what does he think about me? What she did was connected to him, and that's what gave it worth. In 1 Corinthians 13:1, listen, though I speak with the tongues of men and have not charity or have not Christ, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and I can understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that's a lot of faith, and I have not Christ, it's nothing. It's nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not Christ, it profits me nothing. And you think about this. He said she's done what she could. This woman can't preach, but she did what she could. There's a lot of things I wished, I really do wish that I could do, and I can't do them. No matter how hard I try, I just can't do them. But God enabled me to do what I can do. There was this man years ago when I pastored the church there in North Wilkesboro. It was kindly in city. It was on a corner lot. There was street on both sides, so we didn't have a lot of grass to mow. And there was a man in our congregation. He's probably almost 70. He'd had trouble with his lungs, had emphysema for years, and it was, and he couldn't work, hadn't worked in years. But he wanted to mow the grass. And you say, well, that ain't important. Somebody has to mow the grass. And you know, if I knew he was going to be down there, I'd beat him down there to mow the grass. And he come in one Sunday morning and he sat down. He was almost in tears. He said, Mike, there ain't much I can do. He said, please don't take that away from me. And I said, Jay Griffin, you mow that grass as long as you want to. And every time I went down there on Sunday morning and it was mowed, it blessed my heart. He said, that ain't important. He was doing it to honor his Lord. He did what he could. Isn't that it? He did. What can you do? What can I do? He said she done what she could. She brought this alabaster box. And you say, how? And you think about it. Well, how in the world could she do that? The only way you are enabled to do anything is for him to enable you. Like when he gave the talents, he gave one man five, and he gave another man two, and he gave another man one. The one with five, he traded and gained five more. The other man had two, and he traded and gained two more. What about the man who had one? He went and hid it in the earth. Didn't he? According to their several ability. And that's not human ability. That's the ability God gave you. You say, well, I don't have no ability. Do you have a job? Who gave you the job? Who gave you the ability to work the job? Who gave you the car to get to the job? Right? I mean, as I think about it, God is in the details. What can I do? Well, God's enabled me this morning. Monday morning, I can get up and go to work. And I can work for that man as unto the Lord. And I'm going to leave it in God's hands. And whatever he gives me, he give me for his honor and for his glory. I'm not giving him the scraps. It's all his. You know the scriptures? Let me give you some a reading assignment between now and in the morning. Go home and read 1 Chronicles 29. When David's standing there and dedicating the temple before... No, he's talking to the people. They're worshiping God when all the material is gathered together. How did they get all that material to build the temple? David said, who am I? And he talks about everything that we have, you gave us. It's yours. Everything. And all these people here, they said, amen. And that's how God built his temple. That's how he built his house. God help us to do what we can. Ecclesiastes 9:10, wherefore, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. I know what it's like to work public work. I know what it's like to work for jerks. I know what it's like to work. And God would seem to always bring back that scripture. I think it's in Ephesians. He says, as unto the Lord, as unto the Lord. Not as eye services, men pleasers. You're not there to please that man. If he's not, most people only work when the boss is standing around. They're wanting his praise. He owns it all. Does this make any sense? I heard his dad say something one day on a tape and it stuck with me. He said, everyone wants to take the floor, but nobody wants to sweep it. Everybody wants to take it and have the floor and be seen. But how many people want to sweep it? He said, for them that honor me, I will honor. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Our Lord said, wheresoever that this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world on a Friday night in Newcastle, Indiana, what this woman has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. You know what he's saying? And she's just a sinner. And she said, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to do everything I can to honor him. I preached a message a couple of weeks ago when David served his generation. And that's exactly what he did. And you know what he did? He couldn't build the temple. God wouldn't let him. So what can David do? Well, I'm just going to sit around and sulk about it and not do anything. No, he got all the stuff together for Saul. Didn't he? Yes, he did. He served his generation. I read something this today. It said, it is easy to honor him when others are honoring him. But real love delights to honor him when nobody else honors him. C.H. McIntosh, listen, to bring honor to our Lord at the very moment, now if you think about this, at the very moment when earth and hell were raising up against him, when the very highest act of service, this is higher than any other act of service by man or angel could ever perform. May our great God enable us not to be occupied with the thoughts of men. Help us not to think of their indignation or their misunderstandings, but to pour out our alabaster box of ointment upon the person of our Lord. He said, empires have risen and fallen. Monuments have been raised to all those men and they've passed away. But what this woman did, we're finding out about it again tonight. May God enable us to be absorbed with him. She's done what she could for his glory. I have nightmares about preachers. I dream I've lost my notebook. I mean, just some horrible dreams. But there's one thing. With God's grace and with God's help, I want to honor him. We can't exalt him high enough, honor him high enough. He's Lord. He's Lord. Think about this. She pours this on his head. Do you think he still smells like spot and lodge when he stands before Pilate? I think he does. I think it's in his hair. I think it's in his beard. And when he's hanging on that cross, he said, she's come to anoint my body for the burial. Listen, she done what she could. When she could, when she had the opportunity to do it. I think in her heart she knew, if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it right now. If I'm going to serve God, if I'm going to honor God, I'm going to do it. We're going to do it. We're not going to wait till tomorrow. We're going to do it right now. Amen.